Thank you. Okay, good morning. Let's begin our study on the Gospel Foundation Basic Series. And let's begin with the word of prayer. And now you have an idea of what this prayer is about and the importance of this prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit to open your eyes. And this morning, we begin the last leg of our study, the last segment of our study in this Basic Foundation series, an extremely important area. And so let's spend a moment, test yourself to see if you're in the Spirit, because He is the teacher. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to open this book, to grasp the understanding of divine knowledge, what You have to say to us, and that You have given to us, Heavenly Father, the power, the ability to do that in the power of Your Spirit. And Father, we pray now that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, that You will open our eyes and our ears to the things that You would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I have been a believer in Jesus Christ for some 61, 62 years. I have gone through multitude of different teachings and ways of looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit and our spirituality. We're not going to just take a listing of doctrines dealing with the Holy Spirit. We are going to go from the teaching of our Savior Jesus Christ. The night before Jesus Christ was to experience the death on the cross, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session to the right hand of God the Father, ascending to heaven, session being seated at the right hand of the Father, He did several hours of teaching to the disciples, and therefore to us, starting in the upper room, the last Passover, and the First Communion. Now, the heart of His teaching is extremely important. I would think that if we look at the fact that He's getting ready to die in a few hours, telling the disciples He's going to depart, what He is going to teach would be extremely important. And what He is going to teach is the sending of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do, we're going to start our understanding of the importance of the Holy Spirit from the teaching of Jesus Christ Himself, who along with the Father sends to us the Holy Spirit. So let us start by looking at the need of the Holy Spirit. If you grasp your need, then you'll latch on probably more urgently to the things we're going to be seeing that Jesus Christ is going to tell us about the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we need to do is see our need of the Holy Spirit. We started off seeing our need of Jesus Christ as our Savior from the penalty of sin, from death. Now let's take a look at our need of the Holy Spirit as our Savior teaches us these things as believers in Jesus Christ. So let's start off, if you will, by opening your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 12. The Gospel of John 16, verse 12. We're going to just take a brief look here at the need of the Holy Spirit. I, Jesus Christ, have many... Now, this is after the upper room. They have left the upper room somewhere, maybe in the Garden of Gethsemane. We do not know where, but somewhere in that transition. And He's still teaching them. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This introduces the need of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, people, we cannot grasp the truth of Scripture. You cannot learn spiritually the Bible. We cannot learn or spiritually understand the Bible without God the Holy Spirit. No matter how high your IQ may be, even if you know the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, you're a scholar in those areas, it still isn't going to cut it. We are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, just as we're dependent upon Jesus Christ for eternal life salvation. This is why many study and few see. And this starts in principle in history of the Bible with the Pharisees. The Pharisees understood and knew the Old Testament scriptures backwards and forwards so well, but they never saw the truth. And when I was in seminary, we would study men who devoted their whole life in the study of the original languages, study the Bible, doctrines, I wrote books and all of these things, and never saw the truth of the gospel by faith alone in Christ alone, spirituality by faith alone in the Holy Spirit alone, so many fundamental truths. So we have many will study, few will see. And the pattern is the Pharisees. We are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot love as Jesus Christ loves. We saw that in our last few lessons. We cannot fulfill the new commandment. Well, here, Jesus Christ points out we cannot understand Scripture. So here Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you. That's his desire. But you cannot bear them now. Now, for the record, just to help you a little bit from our previous studies on spiritual love, here is spiritual love in action. What does spiritual love look like in action? Remember that spiritual love sees a need and then meets that need to the best that it can. Jesus Christ is going to leave them, going to depart out of his love. He is not going to leave them alone or us alone. He is going to send a helpmate corresponding to him, to himself, and that is the Holy Spirit to take care of this need that's there. So out of his love, I have many more things to teach you. Out of his spiritual love, he sees a need, sees a problem, but you cannot bear them now. Note the conjunction Allah, but. It's a strongest conjunction in the Greek, setting up a contrast between the desire of Jesus Christ and their inability. There's a contrast. There is the desire of Christ to teach them these things, us also included, learning biblical truth. But there's the problem of our inability to grasp this spiritual truth. And why this inability? No Holy Spirit. So we're going to see Jesus Christ will solve part of the problem by sending the Holy Spirit to every believer in the church age. But we will see that there is another problem that we're going to have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's going to send us the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that's what we call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But then there's the problem of the filling of the Holy Spirit that we will also take up. That is the enlightening ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the problem, but you cannot bear them now. We have two important verbs. Please note this. I've got to go through this rather quickly. But I do want to start with, so that you, in this basic series, can see the need of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot, that's one verb, bear, that's another verb. So first we start off with a present middle indicative of a very interesting word, dunamai. D-U-N-A-M-A-I. That's where we get the English word dynamite. It means power. It means ability. Plus the negative. You do not have the ability. Got to start with that. Many preachers, they're smart. Got IQ, study Greek, study Hebrew, learn all these things, write these books. Don't have a clue spiritually what's going on. We do not have the ability. You have to acknowledge this, just like we have to acknowledge, I do not have the ability to save myself from the penalty of sin. I do not have the ability to make myself alive spiritually. What we have to come to the realization, I do not have the ability to understand this book. So this points out something that we often forget. We cannot grasp biblical truth without the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is saying that very clearly, people. So the main thing is we're going to have to see is, how do I tap into this power? But right now we're just going to follow the teaching of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. And the first thing we have to realize is, I cannot grasp biblical truth without the Holy Spirit, who gives us the ability to understand, to bear Scripture. Now, you can know a lot of facts. You can know a lot of Bible doctrine. You can know a lot of theology. But grasping it spiritually, not intellectually, is far, far different matter in the spiritual world. You cannot. You do not have the ability, is the way we want to translate this verb. And it's a present tense. Right now, we got to look at that little now at the end. But right now, while Jesus Christ is speaking to them in their current condition, they do not have the ability. Now, the middle voice in the Greek presents the subject as acting upon himself or concerning himself. The English language doesn't really have a middle voice, so sometimes it's difficult to translate the verb that's in a middle voice into the English. And you have to kind of stretch it out to make the point. So let's do something like, but they themselves, we in parentheses, do not have the ability within ourselves. Be the best way to handle that middle voice. They themselves, we, do not have the ability within ourselves. Then the indicative mood notes the reality of our condition without the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm dealing with them not even having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But as we're going to see, this is applicable to believers in the church age who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but you're not empowered. If you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, you do not have the ability. See? But we'll build on that. Now, the second important verb presenting the problem on the need of the Holy Spirit, you do not have the ability to bear. To bear is the way this is translated. Present active infinitive of the verb bastazo. B-A-S-T-A-Z long O. Bastazo. And bastazo means to take up, to hold, to bear. Here it means to understand. And I'm not going to give you a whole doctrine on this, let's just flow with it. But we learn more about spiritual love of Jesus Christ. Spiritual love is sensitive to others. Who do we know does not have spiritual love? Well, first of all, anyone who doesn't know how to be filled with the Spirit or who is not filled with the Holy Spirit. But in reference to our study, spiritual love of Jesus Christ recognizes their condition, the ability or the inability here to grasp and understand biblical truth. Point one, to be able to grasp and understand biblical truth. Two, the truth that is in itself divine. Oh, dear people, this is not Shakespeare. This is not world history. This is divine knowledge. These are the deep things of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit teaches us. Divine. It is beyond our ability in our human flesh nature to comprehend this divine truth. Three, it means also even how to respond to these truths. How to respond to them properly. You don't apply doctrine. The Holy Spirit does that for you. You've got to know how. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. How to respond properly. And then finally comes with the concept of this word, to receive this truth. Receive it. It's outside of us. We have to receive it inside of us. So Jesus Christ really presents very effectively, in a very few words, the problem of our need of the Holy Spirit. So here Jesus Christ starts with the position, their condition, that they're in right now. They simply do not have the ability to understand, comprehend, grasp, apply properly, respond properly to these things that he desires to teach them. You are not able to bear, to grasp, to understand. Present tense again, this is their current status. The active voice, they themselves are unable to do this in the flesh. The infinitive, we'll jump on the infinitive a little bit. The purpose of the Bible, truth, is that it should be understood. That's the whole purpose of the Bible. God gave it that we should understand it. See? But that's the purpose. but you have to be empowered to be able to do it. So it's the plus the negative. Ooh, you cannot bear. You do not have the ability to bear, to understand, to grasp for purpose of this information. Now we come to an emphatic Greek adverb translated now. Now. This is important, people. The adverb now, at the present time. The ideal is that while they are not able to comprehend these truths now, they will be able to shortly, later. What will happen that they will be able to do so? Three things. One, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Two, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And three, which is crucial for us, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Call it filling of the Spirit. It's a biblical word. Empowerment, illuminating, the work of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. So what will happen that they will be able to do so? You're not able to do so now. What will change that? The sending of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, which will involve our faith. This adverb now is so important in the history of Jesus Christ and in the history of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Okay, look at verse 13. But. Now, it's a mild conjunction of contrast here. I think it's best to translate and understand this, however, rather than but here. I like but for the strong contrast. So, however, you're not able to grasp, you do not have the ability to grasp, to bear, to understand these things. Now, however, introducing the correction of the problem, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will disclose to you. We have several words here. When he comes, guides, speaks, and discloses. We don't have time to look at all these words, but this is the heart of understanding spirituality. All right, the problem, not able to grasp the truth of Scripture in a very brief form of understanding it. So the essential teaching by Jesus Christ in the upper room, and after they left the upper room, was on the Holy Spirit. The correction of the problem, the sending of the Holy Spirit. We do not have time to study all of these passages, but and we will note the sending of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. If you're interested, we have in our regular studies in the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16 are the crucial places to begin your study on the Holy Spirit. To me, they are of Jesus Christ teaching us. That's why I think it's crucial to start there. Then you have 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You have Galatians chapter 5. You have several other chapters that are predominant in this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But I like to start with, what does Jesus Christ tell us as he's departing from the earth? So the problem, not able to understand Scripture, the essential issue in handling this problem, sending of the Holy Spirit. Okay, first of all, let's take a look at Jesus Christ sending the believers, the sending the Holy Spirit to believers. I wanted to start with chapter 16, verse 12, so that you'd see the problem. Now let's go back to the progression. Look at chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we're going to look briefly at verse 16. As I said, if you want to spend time on this and develop it, we have this in a long series of study, not long, but a series of study, John 14, 15, and 16. Okay, some of my people are kind of smiling, not long. Well, it's not long. But it's long. Okay, chapter 14, 16. This is beautiful. Here is spiritual love in action. Spiritual love sees a need and meets the need. And, verse 16 of chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, note the relationship, the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Okay, let's just kind of walk through this. I, for my part, will ask the Father. When will he do this? This is after the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ. The humanity of the resurrected Jesus will ask the Father. So we have here, if we want to take time, we can look at a relationship between the humanity of Jesus Christ and God the Father. But that's not really part of our study for this. And he's going to ask, now note the response of the Father. And he, God the Father, will give you another helper. And he, God the Father, shall give you another. Let's look at the word shall give. It's the future tense. This will be after the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ, starting on the day of Pentecost. We have the future tense of didomi. D-I-D-O-M-I. It's the basic word to give, to bestow. So the best way to handle this, people, let me just give you some points so that we can work our way through. I didn't want to just start off taking doctrines of the Holy Spirit. I want Jesus Christ to develop our doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I want to learn about the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn from the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ. So, shall give to bestow. One, this word is used in a technical way here. For God the Father giving everyone who believes in Jesus Christ in the church age, from the day of Pentecost to the rapture of the church, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He comes and he indwells you. That's what this word means, to give. It's a technical phrase for what we call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Point two. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a technical phrase for the permanent dwelling of the Holy Spirit inside every believer throughout the church age. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I know there are people who will teach you can. You can commit some sins that will cause you to lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Cannot undo what God does here. You cannot lose your salvation, as we saw in our study of the gospel of eternal life salvation. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God gives it to you. You didn't earn or deserve it. When you put faith in Jesus Christ, he gives you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Point three. The term filling, or the expression, the phrase, filling of the Holy Spirit, is also a technical phrase, as we will see, for our receiving the empowerment, the fruit, the leading, the guiding, all of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. That's the best way, simplest way I know how to explain this without getting a 25-point doctrine on it. The phrase filling of the Spirit is a technical phrase for our receiving the empowerment, the fruit, the leading, the guiding, the teaching, all the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And we'll see, how do you do that? When we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. But that's to come up after we take care of Jesus Christ teaching us on the Holy Spirit. Point four. Believers in the Old Testament, up until the day of Pentecost, even though that would even be during Christ's time. Believers in the Old Testament, until the day of Pentecost, were filled, F-I-L-L-E-D, filled with the Holy Spirit, but not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And they could lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. David prayed, "Do not take thy Spirit away from me." But you cannot lose the indwelling. But we can lose the filling. In the Old Testament, they did not experience the indwelling. It's for the church. And we're going to see why. It's in this verse. Why? It's in this verse. Why? But we'll come to that. Point five. In the church age, We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we can lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you stop, how do we lose the filling of the Spirit? You stop walking by faith. You lose the Holy Spirit by making a decision not to walk by faith in the Spirit. Then we sin. And all we have to do to get back into the filling of the Spirit, people, all you have to do is get back to what you stopped doing. You're walking by faith. You stop walking by faith. You're out of fellowship, out of the filling of the Holy Spirit. How do you get back? Go back to what you stopped doing. Walking by faith. It's not by anything that we do. It's not by confession, sorrow, repentance. Just get back to faith. Now, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. There may be some steps you have to do to get back to faith. If you're in denial that you sinned, you have to acknowledge that you sinned. But in James, they didn't deny that they sinned. They confessed they sinned. They just blamed God for it. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit by confession, then in James, they should have been filled with the Spirit, but they weren't. They blamed God for it. In Corinth, they acknowledged that they sinned, but what they did, they just said, that's your problem. That's not my problem. My sin is your problem, not mine. So they acknowledged they sinned. So the actual thing, if you want to call it that, the act that we must do to be it back into the filling of the Spirit, as we're going to see, is by faith. Now, point six. So this word in John 14:16, that he will give the Holy Spirit, is a technical word for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some verses that we have to go back and forth and throughout our study, and I know we've done this already, but if you will open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, if you'll open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3 here, let me show you something beautiful that corresponds to Jesus Christ's words, and the Father will give you. This corresponds with that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. And we've already corrected the translation in one of our studies, but so let's just go through it and note it. Does he, this is God the Father, then, who provides or supplies? Now, here we use the word provide and supply, where in our study, in Jesus Christ's words, gives. So we have different words for the same concept. Does he supply, provide? In our study, if we wanted to, give you, the believer, with the Spirit. With the Spirit. Who provides you with the Spirit, and remember the correct translation, even working, participle, even working power. There's our word dunamai. Not miracles, it's the word dunamis. Same word we had in our study. Dunamai, ability, power. Working power. In you, not among you, but in you. Some of the New American Standards have in the margin. In you. Does he do it by works, by the works of the flesh, confession, sorrow, repentance? No. He does it by faith, by the hearing of faith. Okay, I just wanted you to see different places where these things take place. We're looking at the Holy Spirit from our Savior. Now let's go back to John 14. Go back to John 14. John 14, verse 16. And I, for my part, I myself, it's an emphatic, I myself, will ask, here's his love, his love for us in respect of God the Father, the relationship between the Father, ask the Father, humanity of Christ, asking the Father, and then we have the response of the Father, and he, God the Father, will give you, believers of the church age. We have covered what this means. Now when will this occur? When will he do this? He will give. It's a future tense. So when will God the Father give the Holy Spirit? Basically, it's called the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. After the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, he departs planet Earth. He leaves the Earth in his human body and goes to be with the Father. At his session, the seating at the God the Father, after 10 days of his ascension, he will ask the Father, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit, or give the Holy Spirit, to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. See how beautiful this is flowing if we just study the Holy Spirit from our Savior. I myself will ask the Father, and he will give you. What will Jesus Christ ask the Father to send us? Another helper. Okay, people, this is so important. This is vital to our understanding the Holy Spirit. Another helper. Now, in Greek, there are two words for the translation another that are translated another. You have one word translated another, allos, A-L-L-O-S, transliterating it, A-L-L-O-S. That's the one we have. This refers to another of the same kind. This is in contrast with another Greek word, eteros, E-T-E-R-O-S. That is correctly translated, another of a different kind. Now we saw this where? We saw this in the New Commandment, that you love one another, another of the same kind, another believer. Calls his people, as we remember when we studied it, I said, well, aren't we supposed to love the unbeliever? Yes. But the New Commandment hits us right where we live. That's loving other believers in our home, in our marriage, in church, in our family, loving one another. Another of the same kind, see? The same kind would be a believer. If it was eteros, it would be loving of a different kind. That'd be the unbeliever. Now, let's get back to our study. He will give you another. Another of the same kind. So what's going on in chapter 14, verse 16? I, Jesus Christ, myself, will ask the Father, God the Father, and he, God the Father, will give you another of the same kind as me. Another is the same kind of Jesus Christ. What is this talking about? Deity. Deity. God the Holy Spirit is God. He is deity. Jesus Christ is deity. He sends us a deity, the Holy Spirit. As you trusted in and follow Jesus Christ, we're going to see we trust and follow the Holy Spirit. See? Some people have trouble believing and trusting the Holy Spirit. He's deity. He's the one who's sent by Jesus Christ to take Jesus Christ's place in us, as we're going to see. So as you trust and follow Jesus Christ, you trust and follow the Holy Spirit. So our verse looks like, I myself will ask the Father, and he, God the Father, will give you another just like me. Then we have the word helper. This is another problem. The NASB translates this helper. The King James, another comforter. The NIV, another counselor. So just taking these three basic translations, helper, comforter, counselor. Now, what's going on here? We have, now I'll eventually have all of this on PowerPoint for those of you on the internet, but not this morning. Our PowerPoint projector, we got to get a bulb out of Atlanta and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, the word translated helper, comforter, counselor is the word parakletos. Please let me spell that for you. P-A-R-A-K-L-long-E-T-O-S, long S. Parakletos. It basically means to be called alongside. It means to be called alongside. To comfort, to help, to counsel, to encourage, to defend. The verbal adjective refers to the aid of any kind. In classical Greek, it was used for legal advisors, what we call lawyers. Legal advisors, a pleader, one who comes forward and stands beside another, represents that person. Now here we can begin to understand something, what I want to talk about the word helper. You don't help the lawyer. You ever watched enough Matlock? And sometimes they have to gag the people that want to keep talking. And the judge said, I'm going to kick you out. You just be quiet. You don't help him. He speaks for you. See? You don't help him. So he speaks for you. So we have another. And if you don't mind, I'm going to talk to you in a moment about translating it helper. I personally, and it's just personal, I know it, have a great problem translating this helper. I have a problem translating it comforter because that limits it. I have a problem translating it counselor. That limits it. Not trying to be cute or fancy. I'm just going to translate this another paraclete. P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E. Another paraclete. Another of the same kind as Jesus himself. Another of equal quality as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says that the Holy Spirit is equal to himself by using Allah, another like me. He is God. As we trust in Jesus Christ, we trust the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time here, but as I said, I do not really like the translation helper. This gives the idea that we do our part and he helps us. God helps those who help themselves. Where's that in the Bible? That's not a verse in the Bible, but some people think it is. And help gives the idea, well, I'm out on the road and I need. Can you help me push my car? I'll help and you help me. I do my part, you help me. And this is wrong. What?
Us.
Okay, I don't know what that is. Okay, all right. It's another helper, but I don't like the word helper here, for this gives the idea that we do our part and he helps us. Someone helps us push a car. And we saw people. Where did you first learn what I'm trying to teach you? In eternal life salvation. Jesus Christ isn't our helper to be saved. He provides all that is necessary, didn't he? He provided everything necessary for our salvation. All we did was non-meritorious faith. And that's the same issue here. So let's just take a look at the word paraclete. Do you know the word Christ, which every one of us is so familiar with? That's not a translation. That's a transliteration, which I want to do here with paraclete. Every time you say Christ, you're not translating the Greek. You're transliterating the Greek. Christ comes from Christos, which means anointed one. If you really wanted to translate, you would say the Savior, Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah. See? But we transliterate, and you have no problem with that. So I'm not trying to start any movement here, but for our study and for your mind, I would like to just translate this paraclete. Because this is going to involve, and we're going to see the many ministries that the Holy Spirit does. And it's a lot more than just help, comfort, counsel. Many, many more. So I like that Christ used the word paraclete. So let's just take a look at the word paraclete in Jesus Christ. Six things. One, they're brief. One, the deity of Jesus Christ and the deity of the Holy Spirit. They're both paraclete. Two, we want to be aware of the human. We're going to study this, but we want to be aware the humanity of Jesus Christ and the deity of the Holy Spirit. The humanity of Jesus Christ and the deity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus Christ, led Jesus Christ, poured that love that we studied into Jesus Christ. Three, the mission of Jesus Christ and the mission of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are very clear on the mission of Jesus Christ. Well, many aren't, but on the ministry of Jesus Christ, the mission, but not on the mission of the Holy Spirit. Four, now we're going to switch it. The mission of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. going to start here with the Holy Spirit and his ministry to Jesus Christ. Like we're going to see, he's to glorify Christ. See? So we're going to look at the mission of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Five. There's also going to be a section in Jesus Christ's teaching, the mission of the Holy Spirit and the unbeliever. It's in John 16. Then six, the ministry or mission of the Holy Spirit and the believer. Dear people, there is so much to learn about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to do that in this study. I'm going to give you introduction to things. My main objective is that you understand the need of the Holy Spirit, your need of Him, how to be filled with Him. But just to orient you to a lot of these things that Jesus Christ is going to teach us. So our passage says, He the Father will send you another like me, deliverer. If you like deliverer, I like that. Even if you don't like paraclete, because of its Greek, then deliverer is fine. Jesus Christ is our first deliverer. The Holy Spirit is our second deliverer. C.S. Lewis, Lewis Berry Chafer, in his book, He That Is Spiritual, in the conclusion, an analogy, he talks about the Holy Spirit as the deliverer, and so does the Bible. Jesus Christ delivers us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit delivers us from the power of sin. Now, he's going to deliver us into things, but just work with me as we develop these thoughts. So, he will send another deliverer, another like me, deity, deliverer. Jesus Christ delivers us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit delivers us from the power of sin. Jesus Christ delivers us into eternal security, into imputed righteousness, into eternal life, into justification. The Holy Spirit delivers us into the spiritual life. But we have a problem. We have a problem. Let's note a few things on the problem. One, all who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior by faith alone in Christ alone are delivered, saved from the penalty of sin, delivered from the law, delivered from Satan, delivered from the power of sin and our flesh nature, delivered into eternal life, perfect righteousness, justification. Point two. However, as long as we are physically alive on this earth, as Christians, as saved, we can come under the power of sin. Christians do sin. If you haven't learned that, you will very soon. You sin. We come under the power of sin. We cannot deliver ourselves from the power of sin by anything that we do any more than we could deliver ourselves from the penalty of sin. See? Your pattern. Your eternal life salvation is a pattern for your spiritual life salvation. So point two, as long as we are physically alive as Christians on earth, we can come under the power of sin. We cannot deliver ourselves from the power of sin by anything that we do any more than we could deliver ourselves from the penalty of sin as unbelievers. Point three. As believers on earth, we have our flesh nature. There is no way that we can come out from under the flesh nature by anything we do. All that we can do is live under the power and influence of the flesh. We can try to control it, be better. This is the way the world works, and a lot of Christian psychologists make yourself better, work on stealing, work on this, work on that, and just to get yourself disciplined and all of this kind of thing. Try to make the flesh a better person. God doesn't try to make the flesh a better person, people. He crucified it. Point four. Since there's nothing that we can do, Jesus, out of his love, sent to us another deliverer. He delivered us from the penalty of sin. He sent us another deliverer, just like himself, to deliver us from the power of sin. See? It's a spiritual love in action again. We're learning about Jesus Christ. We're learning about the Holy Spirit. We're learning why the Holy Spirit. So, on the point four, since there's nothing that we can do in the flesh nature to deliver ourselves out from under the power of the flesh nature, even though we're believers, Jesus Christ, out of his love, has sent to us another deliverer just like himself to deliver us from the power of sin. And you receive both of these deliverances by Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit by faith. That's why Paul in Colossians 2 says, as you have received him, walk. You received him by faith, you walk by faith. Now, point five. Another deliverer to deliver us from the power of sin. Another deliverer to deliver us from the power of the flesh. We'll see this in Galatians 5. You're in the spirit, you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. Another deliverer to deliver us from the power of Satan. And one that really is important. Another deliverer to deliver us from the power of the world. The cosmic system. It's so sad that a multitude of Christians suffer stress, anxiety, depression. Sad. Because they do not understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how to be empowered by him. Six, Jesus Christ sent to us another deliverer to deliver us into, under point five we covered from. Point six, let's just examine, to the light, into a righteous life, divine power, spiritual love, fruit of the Holy Spirit, and to fellowship with God. Christ came to bring us to fellowship with God. But experientially on earth, we have to be empowered by this second deliverer, second sending here, so we can enjoy this fellowship with God as Christians. And finally, point seven, just as we trusted the first deliverer, we trust the second deliverer. Just as we followed, the disciples followed the first deliverer, we follow the second deliverer by faith. See, the disciples, as we're going to see, were walking by sight. Jesus Christ went to Galilee, they just hot-footed it behind him. Jesus Christ stayed at the Holiday Inn, they stayed at the Holiday Inn. Jesus Christ went to Samaria, they went to Samaria. He goes to Jerusalem, they went to Jerusalem. They walked by sight. That's why they were so in turmoil when he said, I'm departing, I'm leaving. Ah! How are we going to know what to do? I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you someone, just like me, who will guide you. Okay? So we have two deliverers. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We have two paracletes. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Two comforters, two helpers, two counsel, if whatever word you want to say, as long as you realize we don't do it. He does it. The Holy Spirit is God. He is another like Christ. That's what we have. Another like me. He is deity. Let's just quickly note that. So get it in your framework. One, that he is deity, God, equal with the Father, equal with the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. Don't be afraid of trusting the Holy Spirit. He's God. Two, that he is deity is equivalent to his having all the divine attributes. That he is deity is equivalent to his having all divine attributes. Let me just give you a few. Eternity, Hebrews 9:14. Omniscient, multitude of passages, but 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11, which we'll take a quick look at sometime. Gospel of John 14:26. Omnipotent, The Holy Spirit's omnipotent. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. 3. Works of deity are ascribed to him. Works of deity are ascribed to him. Creation. Yes, creation is ascribed to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus Christ and to the Father, by the way. Psalm 104, verse 30. Job 33, 4. 2. The work of regeneration is also ascribed to him as with Jesus Christ. John 3, 5. 3. Inspiration of Scripture. 2 Peter 1, 21. 4. Raising the dead, giving life. Romans 8, 11. 5. In a number of passages, he is associated equally with the other members of the Godhead. Matthew 28, 19. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. And 6. He is referred to as God. Acts 5, 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. So all we're doing is trying to get an understanding of the Holy Spirit from the teaching of Jesus Christ. He is another just like me, another paraclete just like me. That's what we're doing here. Point 4. The Holy Spirit is God. Which means that the Holy Spirit is not some power that we can get a hold of. He gets a hold of us, just as Jesus Christ does. He's not some power you get a hold of. Why is it so popular, this idea of getting hold of the power of the Spirit? Because this kind of thinking emphasizes self again, which we've studied all along. It's all about me. Exalt self. I get this power. The Holy Spirit is God. He's a personal God with whom we can have fellowship with by faith. 5. So, it is so important to grasp the concept that a member of the Godhead indwells you. Always. That's why you're never further away from restoring yourself from sin than what's inside of you, not what's outside. You don't restore yourself before man, it's with God, who is inside of you. He's that close. Grasp the concept that God, a member of the Godhead, actually indwells, permanently indwells. And by my faith in him, he will act in my life. He will pour in his love, his joy, his peace, the fruit of the Spirit. He will teach me, guide me, lead me, uses me. This is most humbling, people. And most do not want an humbling position. Therefore, they come up with all kinds of cheap substitutes for completely depending on the Holy Spirit. They come up with all kinds of cheap substitutes. I'm going to learn, I'm going to apply, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit by faith. Just as we depended on Jesus Christ, totally and completely, we depend on the Holy Spirit. By the way, this is why many refuse to just simply believe in Jesus Christ, by faith alone and Christ alone. No, you've got to add this, you've got to add that. And why so many reject walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. No, I want to be a part of the equation. And finally, point 6. Many reject our total dependency on the Holy Spirit because they want to be a part of the spiritual dynamics. I studied the Bible. I did this for God. I witnessed. I served. I that. I love. I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I confess. I repent. I learn. I can apply it. Don't really want to talk about my need and dependency on the Holy Spirit, which is why I started with John 16 and the words of our Lord, "You are not able." You do not have the ability yet to do the things that you think you can do. One more thing before we leave the Paraclete, the Deliverer. Jesus Christ is our Paraclete in heaven. He is our helper, our console, our deliverer, all these things in heaven. Let me just go through four. There's a lot more, but let me just go through four to help your frame of thinking. Jesus Christ is our advocate. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. When you and I sin, often Satan, not every time, but Satan will charge up to heaven and say, look, this believer down there committed this horrible sin. You can't use them anymore. We just sit still. We're like in a mat like cave. We just sit down, be quiet. Jesus Christ stand up and says, it's taken care of. I borne it on the cross. Case closed. That infuriates Satan, and infuriates a lot of Christians too. Infuriates them. They don't like that. So Jesus Christ is our paraclete, our advocate. Here's a good way to translate it, advocate. In 1 John 2, 1 and 2. 2, Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7, 25. 3, Jesus Christ is the authority of our prayers. Pray in His name. John 14, 13. Here's another one. He's our builder. Jesus Christ is preparing an eternal dwelling place. John 14, 2. So we could translate our word paraclete, builder. That's why I don't like any of these one little word translations. I have trouble because they're so rich, this Greek word, and all the things we learn about this Spirit. So I just like the word paraclete. I have no problem with comforter word is applicable. And I'll show you maybe this morning where comforter is applicable. But we just have to know that it's so rich. And I really have trouble with helper because it leaves you the idea, I do my part. Our part is simple faith, which is non-meritorious. Now, the Holy Spirit is our paraclete on earth. See, Jesus Christ is now our paraclete in heaven in His humanity. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete on earth during our lives as believers. One, the Holy Spirit is our paraclete giving us power to live the spiritual life. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 and following. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete in life and in prayer. Romans 8, 26. Ephesians 6, 18. Three, the Holy Spirit is our paraclete, deliverer from the power of sin. Romans 7, 24, and almost all of chapter 8. See, this is why I like the word paraclete. How are you going to get one word that will cover all of these? Four, the Holy Spirit is our paraclete, giving to us spiritual life, making us alive. Romans 8, 2, and 6, 11, 13. Romans 8 is a very important study chapter on the Holy Spirit. John 6, 63. John 7, 38 and 39. 2 Corinthians 3, 6. 2 Corinthians 3 is a very important chapter on studying the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to be touching it in this brief introductory series. 5. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete in teaching us all spiritual truths. He's our paraclete as a teacher. Another teacher, if you like. Gospel of John 6:63. Oh, excuse me, no. Gospel of John 14:26. Gospel of John 16:13 and 14. A very important one. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 13. 6. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete, P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-E, informing a righteous life on earth. You don't do this by not sinning. You have a righteous life by the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. Excuse me, Galatians 5:5, I'm sorry. Galatians 5:5, Romans 14:17. 7. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete over the flesh nature. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. 8. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete in leading us moment by moment. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he leads you from within moment by moment? Galatians 5:18, which we will take a look at later. 9, the Holy Spirit is our paraclete in pouring his fruits into us. There's no one word that I can use to me that satisfies just this word paraclete. So the Holy Spirit is our paraclete by pouring in his fruits. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Spiritual love, Colossians 1:8. Joy, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 10. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete in giving us hope, confidence in living the Christian life. Romans 15:13. See how important that is in studying the faith of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, which we're in the midst of studying. Point 11. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete in giving us power to worship. Philippians 3:3. Now, all of these are by faith. When we put our faith in the Holy Spirit, walk by faith in the Spirit. So we have two paracletes. One paraclete in heaven, doing his work for us, all the things of the paraclete. We have a paraclete on earth, the Holy Spirit, who is inside of us. So I hope you can appreciate my problem with just translating this helper. There's just so much involved here in what the Holy Spirit does. Well, we will resume here next hour, and what I'm doing now, I want you to understand how we're doing this. I am looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself. We're just going to go through and briefly look, even though I know you may not think it's briefly, at what Jesus Christ teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And then we'll take a look at Paul on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we will resume here in the next hour. And I hope that these things are starting to make sense to you, seeing the need of the Spirit and why Jesus Christ, how he solved that need, that problem, by sending us the Holy Spirit. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this word. How grateful we are for the Bible, for the Holy Spirit, who will illuminate or open our eyes to the truth that is in this word, Father. Pray that you'll take the things that we've seen this morning, cause them to become a reality in our souls and then in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Are you saying deity?
Yeah, maybe that's what.
Maybe that's what you're saying.
Yeah, but I have us here. It's very obvious. It's talking about Christ.
Where is us?
I scratched it out.
Where was it?
I had it above.
Oh, okay. No.